coming up on the programme. But like I said, we begin with a story that we've been looking at, which is about foster care. And a London foster carer told us at BBC London that she's stopped being a foster carer because she thinks she's part of a system that's doing more harm than good. Nicola wants to raise awareness of the emotional damage that's caused to children when they move from home to home and they don't have contact with their previous foster carers. She's planning to launch a campaign in Parliament in the autumn, and our reporter Anna O'Neill has the full story.
We started to feel like we're in a system where we are harming the children.
Nicola Kalisperas always knew that one day she'd become a foster carer. She'd spent time in care as a child and always wanted to be able to do the same for someone else. She's fostered more than half a dozen children, but even though she wants to, she hasn't been able to keep in touch with them all, including a foster daughter.
We were encouraged to promise. We said we would come and see her. We said we would bring the dog to her. And as soon as she actually left, we weren't allowed to see her.
Foster children are often unable to keep in touch with their foster families, and Nicola's worried this is damaging children in the long term. She's now part of a campaign launching later this year, hoping to highlight the issue of broken attachments and children in care.
The child doesn't understand adoption. The child doesn't understand foster care. What the child understands is, this person loved me and left me. Now this other person has loved me and left me. My sister has loved me and left me. And before two, I've already got three people who have loved and left me.
You almost feel like you've lost a part of what your family was at that time.
Foster siblings feel a sense of loss too when a much-loved foster sister or brother moves on. But despite that, the experience can still be very fulfilling.
It's definitely taught me a lot about life, about people, about, you know, people's backgrounds, where they've come from, to love, to forgive, definitely. I always say I am who I am because of fostering.
All over the UK, looked after children move repeatedly in and out of care. NSPCC research suggests that this means poorer outcomes for their emotional well-being and mental health when compared to children who've not been in care. The UK's leading fostering charity says that while some carers are supported to keep in contact with their foster children, many are not.
There are the other situations that we also hear about as an organisation where foster carers are not supported to maintain that relationship. And sometimes it's because we're thinking about it from the adult's perspective rather than the child's perspective.
Sarah Anderson founded the charity Foster Wiki. She's working with Nicola and Ray to launch a campaign to put the well-being of children back at the centre of foster care.
We are going to write up a new policy, talk to MPs in Parliament, and, you know, make sure we deliver something that you have to be accountable to. Because you're absolutely right. We can't have any more lip service. We can't have it continue like this. We have to change the outcomes for our children and young people.
Our campaign is to highlight and to try and create some change in the care system, allowing children to maintain people that are important to them, relationships that are important to them, so that they don't have this kind of internal sense that I'm just not good enough.
That's Anna O'Neill with the story of foster carers and the campaign that Nicola will be putting to Parliament in the autumn. Joining me now is Robin Finlay, is the General Secretary of the National Union of Professional Foster Carers. A very good morning to you, Robin.
Good morning, Salma. Good to hear you, and good to hear you talking about incredible people, because foster carers are incredible people and doing a very tough job in a lot of cases.
They are indeed, and I always am so kind of in awe of the people who sign up to look after these kids. I think it's an incredible thing to do. But of course, the crux of this story and the crux of being a foster carer is the children and the people that you're looking after. It's their welfare, their well-being that matters so much. And I wanted to get your thoughts, Robin, on, you know, on this piece that we're doing, this story, and what Nicola was saying. What's your thoughts on how damaging it is for the kids to be moving from home to home? Of course, in many places and many times, that's unavoidable. But do you think there should be some contact that remains when those children do move on?
We have regular discussions with the Department for Education. They're the department within the government that look after foster care and set down the guidance and things for local authorities and agencies. And we've maintained that for a long time now, there should be a transition period. So, for example, if you think about a lot of countries, not the UK, Asian countries, for example, if you have a child and you can't look after that child very well, there's an auntie, a next door neighbour, a somebody that can take over the child. The child knows them. The child doesn't feel they're being abandoned because they've gone to stay with them because you can't cope temporarily or whatever. And so there's a continuity there. There's a flow. So the children feel more within a family. However, having said that, in the UK, if you have a problem with your child, social services come in, they decide the child needs to be moved, it goes to a foster carer. So then the foster carer, in Nikki's case, she might look after the child from birth because maybe the mother has been drinking or taking drugs or whatever, so it's got fetal alcohol syndrome and problems. They know there's going to be problems, social services do. So they give the child to somebody like Nikki. Nikki might keep the child for 2, 3, 4 years. So that child believes that Nikki's his mother. She's got a really close affinity with Nikki. So when it's time for the child to be adopted, instead of somebody turning up from social services and say, well, today's the day, off we go, and the child just goes, then there should be a transition, you know, and it should be quite a long transition, not a, you know, one meeting and the child's gone. Really, it needs to be a longer transition where the child can still be in contact with somebody like Nikki, the foster parent that's looked after it from the very start. And it can fade out. It could be regularly to start with and then get less and less and less. But the child knows they've not been abandoned. Now, when the child gets older, sometimes children go into care when they're 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, or even older than that. So they've been taken away from the family that they're used to. They've been put into foster care. Sometimes those children think if they make an allegation or something, that they might go back to their parents. They might go back to their life they used to know. In that case, very often, and allegations have to be looked into, social services might even take them from school and move them somewhere else. So there's this constant flow of moving and moving of these children. It traumatises them. They get attachment and relationship difficulties in the future. They think, oh my goodness, I'm being moved again. I can't trust anybody. I didn't tell these people my secrets. I didn't, you know, rely on anybody because I'm going to be moved again.
And can I, Robin, just to that point, I think it's important to say that children aren't always going into foster care because a mother has been drinking or has drug problems. There's a myriad of reasons why children go into foster care. And that could be maybe, you know, I'm not going to name them all, but there are so, so many. And I never want to insinuate that it's the fault of just the mother and that's why they've been put into care. And I think that's really important to note. Robin, what would, I suppose, I'm looking for a solution here, right? And I know Nicola is, you know, putting this to Parliament in the autumn. What's the answer here? Is it just making sure that there is always that transitionary period? But again, I understand that in some circumstances, if children have to be moved quickly or get out of dangerous situations quickly, that's not always possible, is it?
No, that's correct. What the government do, they don't have any really hard and fast rules. There is the Children's Act, and the Children's Act says the child's wishes and feelings are paramount. However, in a lot of cases, the child's wishes and feelings seem to come last on the list. And I think one of your people you had on earlier on, they mentioned that. You know, the children seem to be least considered. They look at it from an adult point of view, and they think, oh, maybe this is the best. But they don't ask the child. So the government have what they call guidance. And expectations. So a lot of times local authorities and agencies, they don't quite follow these expectations and guidance, and they make things up as they go along, and it normally affects the foster carer. So instead of going to the foster carer and the child and saying what's the best way forward in this situation, somebody somewhere else will make the decision that something's going to happen, which traumatises the foster carer, it traumatises the children. So we're speaking to government at the moment and basically saying, look, you know, instead of working on expectations and guidance, which changes, if you're in Brighton, they're saying one thing. If you're in Newcastle, they're saying a different thing. It should be a set of rules up and down the UK that say, you know, in this circumstance, this happens, in that circumstance, that happens. So everybody knows what they've got to comply with, because foster carers are expected to comply with this guidance to the letter. But when it suits the local authorities or the agencies, they manipulate it around to suit themselves, especially when budgets are tight.
Robin, has anyone talked to the children, who are, of course, the heart of this, has anyone talked to them to ask what they would prefer?
We work quite closely with the Children's Commissioner. And the Children's Commissioner, they try their very hardest to advocate for the children. But their hands are rather tied. there's only a certain amount of things they can do. They can suggest that the local authority pay for an advocate. Well, the local authority say, we haven't got the money to pay for an advocate. So the children's wishes are very rarely heard when the foster carers advocate for the children and say, look, this child needs more support. This child needs help with this. This child needs help with that. Very often, they're classed as a troublemaker. And the easiest way to get rid of a troublemaker is not to give them any children. And that's one of the reasons that we formed the union. The union was formed by a High Court order because really local authorities didn't want a union. And so therefore we stick up for our members. So if somebody comes to us, even if somebody's not a member, they can come to us for advice. But we, you know, we stick up for the members, because if there was an agency, for example, there's nowhere to complain. They can't complain to the local authority ombudsman because it's not a local authority. And any complaints process is in-house. So the people you're complaining about are the people investigating themselves, and it goes nowhere. So that's why the union, as a trade union, we can really go and stick our nose into everything and make a point. Look, you know, guys, you're not following the rules. The child's being affected. The carer's being affected. You know, new people are not coming in because foster carers are leaving because they're not being treated very well, they're being bullied and things, then they feel the children are not being looked after properly, and new carers aren't coming in. We've got to stop that. We've got to stop them going out and bring more in.
Well, listen, we'll follow this story as it continues. Robin, thank you so much for your time this morning.
Thank you very much, Selma.
Pleasure talking to you. Robin Finlay there from the National Union of Professional Foster Carers. He's the General Secretary of that union. And of course, Anna O'Neill, who's been bringing us this story, will keep us updated on it as we go through.
BBC Radio London.
One of the best things about this museum is the fact that the entrance fee is...
How much?
£50.